Welcome to All Sides with Ann Fisher. The pandemic and politics have collided to complicate a high-stakes presidential election expected to see record numbers of voters and absentee ballots. Millions are voting absentee, many for the first time out of concern for COVID-19. In Ohio, 2.5 million requested absentee ballots, and that's generated questions, lots of questions, and uncertainty, fueled in part by President Trump's repeated tweets and unfounded claims of extensive voter fraud. Senate Judiciary Committee Chairman Lindsey Graham, during Wednesday's confirmation hearing, leveled similar accusations.
We've seen evidence of ballots being placed in people's cars and dropped in ditches. So I think there will be an effort, I hope, to protect the integrity of the ballot and also ensure easy voting.
Coming up, the experts take your questions about voting. Joe Ingles is a reporter for Ohio Public Radio Statehouse News Bureau. He's been covering all of this. Welcome back, Joe.
Good morning, Ann.
And as far as these claims of voter fraud, let's be clear about what we mean by this and what we mean by when we're saying they're unfounded. There are examples of ballots being misplaced and that kind of a thing, but the fraud, the actual idea of fraud is in question here, right?
Right. That's what's in question. Is it a mistake, a simple mistake, or is it something more sinister?
And we've
seen some mistakes, but not anything of fraudulent.
And then as far as the extent of these mistakes go, they're very isolated and affect very few numbers of ballots, right?
Right, right. For example, we saw in Franklin County that some of the ballots that went out, there had been something on the machines that where they sort the ballots, and it hadn't been turned on. And because it wasn't turned on, the ballots were wrong in about 50,000 cases. So the Franklin County Board of Elections immediately got on that. They have resent the ballots to folks who got the wrong ballot. And if someone did send in the wrong ballot and had voted it, they can vote the new ballot, and it will invalidate the other ballot.
And that's
the presidential race. I should say, I want to clarify that the presidential race was on all of those ballots. So, you know, most of these complaints are being lodged by people about presidential race. Well, the presidential race was on the wrong ballot and the right ballot. So, you know, either way, their vote would count.
Okay. There were conflicting statements over the weekend between the county election officials and Blue Crest, the vendor. Have they figured out where the human error occurred?
Yeah, I think they figured that out. They were having all kinds of issues going back and forth. But the fact is that they figured it out, and they've got the ballots out there now, and people should be able to vote the ballots and return them. If you've decided that you didn't want to vote ballot after all, and you'd rather just go in person, you can go do that. There's no problem with that at all. Take your ballot if you have it, and they'll let you vote on the machine in person at the Board of Elections right now. So, people who maybe have second thoughts after that and are a little weary about it, then they should just go vote in person then.
The lines are long, but they're fast moving pretty much, right?
Right. You know, I've talked to people who stood in line, and the line is wound around the back of a shopping center. I mean, it looks hideous. I mean, I've put pictures up on my Twitter feed. I think most journalists who've been out there have. And it looks like, you know, oh, you're going to be standing in line for hours. Well, in reality, people are standing in line for a half hour.
Mm-hmm.
The problem is that the reason it looks long is that they have used every bit of space inside to do a bunch of distance spacing with the machines to make it safer to be inside the building. So it's COVID safe inside the building, and all of the line is outside.
Gotcha. You're listening to All Sides with Ann Fisher on 89.7 NPR News. We are once again devoting this hour to your voting questions and the news about the election process. Joining us right now is Joe Ingles of the Ohio Public Radio Statehouse News Bureau. And coming up, we're going to hear from the Ohio Association of Election Officials and also the League of Women Voters of Ohio. So if you have questions about voting, this is the time to get them in, 614-292. 8513, or you can email us at allsides@wosu.org. If you want to go on Facebook and post it there, I'll try to keep checking that to get your questions in today. Joe, U.S. District Judge Daniel Polster ruled again about drop boxes last week. What did he say, and where do things stand between the courts and the Ohio Secretary of State?
Okay, well, here's where it stands right now. Right now, you have to use the drop box at the Board of Elections. Now, some Board of Elections may be having multiple drop box locations, or maybe collecting, maybe have their staff out collecting ballots in like a cardboard box or something in the parking lot. But everything has to be on the Board of Elections property at this point. That's where there are two different lawsuits. Both of them have landed in the same place. So right now, if you want to use a drop box, you have to go to your local Board of Elections. Now, some boards of elections are having problems because there's so much traffic, and they'll have maybe staff go out and collect them, or they'll have another drop box location, like a second or even a third drop box, on their site. In Hamilton County, I know that they've had so much traffic at their Board of Elections that it's actually backed up on the highway that feeds into that area.
Oh, my goodness.
So, so they've been, the Boards of Elections have had to be creative, but everything is on their site. Anything they're doing is there. They don't have drop boxes in the libraries. They don't have drop boxes, wherever people think they might be. They're at the Board of Elections early vote site.
And has anyone talked to LaRose about why he sort of shifted gears on all of this?
Well, I did. I think a lot of people did. I mean, early in the summer, he was saying, hey, I like this idea of drop boxes. Mm-hmm. And of course, he was the one who put the drop boxes in prior to the election we had in the spring. So, every Board of Elections has one drop box at least. And that one drop box is because Secretary of State LaRose was, the one instrumental in putting that in there. And so we get past the primary. He said, I like this idea. But then he said he didn't know if he had the legal authority to allow the board to go out and put in more drop boxes. So he asked Ohio's Attorney General to weigh in on it. And Dave Yost was about to kind of weigh in on it and give his opinion. And then LaRose withdrew that. And all of a sudden, LaRose says, hey, you know what? It's getting too close to the election. I don't want confusion. I don't want lawsuits. Hmm. So he said, we're going to have one at the Board of Elections, and that's it. Then of course, there were lawsuits, two of them. And one was filed in state court, and the other was a federal. But they've both landed at the place where there's been a lot of going back and forth, but they've both landed at the place where now everything has to be at the Board of Elections.
Okay. In California, the Republican Party admitted it placed misleading ballot drop boxes around the state. What's happening with that? Have you followed that?
Yeah. They have different rules out there.
Yeah.
They're allowed to harvest ballots out there. In Ohio, you cannot harvest ballots. And I should say what that is. Harvesting ballots means that you can collect ballots for a bunch of people. So say I wanted to harvest ballots in my neighborhood. I could tell all my neighbors, hey, bring them in, and I'm going to take them to the Board of Elections for you. And, I would handle them. That's not the way you can do that in Ohio. But out there, parties and different groups can engage in harvesting. So what's happened is the Republican Party out there has put up some drop boxes, which they're saying are official, but they're not. And they're Republican Party drop boxes. The Boards of Elections are upset about that because they have, little control over that. And they want to make sure that there's, that the ballots are secure and that, everything's functioning properly. They've asked the California Republican Party not to do that. The California Republican Party says we're going to continue to do it. So, there's probably going to be another court suit or something coming out of that. But it's a kind of weird thing that cannot happen in Ohio.
When the ballot mix-up occurred at Franklin County level, President Trump took the opportunity to use that as an example of a rigged election. And I'm wondering how county officials and Secretary of State Frank LaRose are responding to that now.
Well, county officials, the Board of Elections, Franklin County Board of Elections, immediately put out a tweet responding to President Trump and said, you know, this is a mix-up. This is not fraud. And as I said, you know, before, regardless, even if you got the wrong ballot and you voted the wrong ballot, you would have still been able to vote in the presidential race. So it really doesn't, it's not fraud. But the thing is that President Trump has been talking about a lot of situations and terming them as fraud. There are, you know, as you pointed out earlier, there are a lot of unfounded allegations out there about voter fraud.
Mm-hmm.
And it almost seems like something's being set up there, you know, like a narrative is being set up there so that, you know, he can use that to maybe challenge if he would lose the election. You know, we just don't know what that narrative is for exactly. But there is he's continuing to talk about this on the campaign trail every time, you know, voter fraud, voter fraud, voter fraud. So I don't know. We'll see where that goes.
Voter registration numbers are very strong, but they didn't break a record. What do we know? What are the numbers right now?
Well, we have 8 million, it was almost 8.1 million Ohio registered voters. We had 8.2 million in 2008. Most of the registered voters are unaffiliated, don't have a party affiliation, but the Democrats did see an increase in the number of voters who are affiliated with their party over past years. Right now, we have 1.9 million Republican ballots, Republican affiliated voters, 1.6 million Democratic, and then 4.5 million, a little over that, are unaffiliated. So we've got a lot of voters out there, a lot of interest in this race for sure.
Voters are not supposed to wear political attire to the polls. The board, state Secretary of State's office, I from what I understand, is training. I mean, how are they being trained to deal with people who show up that way?
Well, you know, that's always been the rule. And back in 2008, you remember there were stories about Ohioans who went in to vote and they had an Obama shirt on and they had to turn it inside out. So I had asked Secretary of State LaRose about that a couple weeks ago. And he said, yes, that law still is in place. You're not allowed to wear any kind of political clothing. That would be a MAGA hat. It would be, you know, a shirt for one of the candidates or something like that. You're not allowed to wear that into a polling place. And the people who are working the polling place are being told that you're not allowed to wear that kind of attire in to vote. However, you know, it's like murky because, you know, if someone wears it and then they insist that they want to vote, they put a poll worker in a situation of being the police in that situation. And so it can cause some problems. But they've had, I think, a couple of incidents statewide that we've heard about mm-hmm. where that's happened. But for the most part, people are removing the hat or whatever when they're asked.
How does the state know or the counties know or the precincts know? I guess it'd be the counties that run the elections, actually. How do they know how many, say, voting machines to prepare for on Election Day?
Well, they're pretty much pulling out everything they have right now. I know in Franklin County, they have 150 voting machines in their early vote center, and they're going to be looking at the registered voters, figuring out where they are, you know, where they live, what their precincts are going to be on Election Day, and they will divvy out the voting machines on Election Day, you know, based on those numbers.
Joe Ingles, thanks so much for your time today. I appreciate it, as always.
Well, it's always great to be with you, Ann.
That's Joe Ingles of the Ohio Public Radio State House News Bureau. By the way, listeners, WOSU has a voter's guide, What to Know About the 2020 Election. It takes you step by step through the voting process, from registration to applying for a mail-in ballot to voting in person. Just check out WOSU.org and look for that link. We'll be right back. This is All Sides with Ann Fisher on 89.7 NPR News. Welcome back to All Sides. I'm your host, Ann Fisher. Chief of Staff Merle Madrid of the Ohio Secretary of State's office last week told WOSU host Claire Roth what prompted a new initiative to educate poll workers on de-escalating tensions.
People's emotions are high this election. Poll workers' emotions are high. Voters' emotions are high. What we don't want to do is have those emotions overtake the situation.
We're working on de-escalating confusion when it comes to the process of, Jen Miller is the executive director of the Ohio League of Women Voters. Welcome back, Jen.
Thanks.
And Aaron Ackerman, executive director of the Ohio Association of Election Officials. Welcome back.
Good morning, Ann.
So, Aaron, now that voting has begun, both in person and by mail, how has the first week gone?
Fantastic. We are seeing record numbers of voters show up at the early voting sites. We're moving them through the lines quickly, as Joe was talking about earlier. High level of enthusiasm. It's been great. And I would note, as Joe kind of said, there are some lines, but the funny thing is, it's kind of a celebration of democracy during this early voting period. And so we see, you know, people standing in line and being happy about it and celebrating the fact that there's so much enthusiasm for the election. So it's been a really great experience all in all for voters and boards of elections alike.
It is interesting how that enthusiasm is playing out, Jen Miller. I saw, you know, there's been more and more enthusiasm for voting over the years, ironically. Is this year any different from where you sit?
Absolutely. We're seeing high numbers of voter registration and great participation early out. Usually we don't see this level of participation during early voting. And so we are just thrilled. We think that Ohioans are recognizing they have the power to affect who governs us and how our government works.
You're listening to All Sides with Ann Fisher on 89.7 NPR News. We are taking your questions today on voting. WOSU has a voter's guide. You can check that out at WOSU.org. But if you want to give us a call right now, we've got the experts, 614-292-8513, or email us at allsides@wosu.org. We had a caller call in with a question, Sarah in Columbus, who asks, will ballots be counted if voters write in a candidate that isn't registered? Aaron Ackerman?
So the process for write-in candidates is basically that even as a write-in, you have to register with the Board of Elections and get certified as a write-in candidate in order for us to count that. So if Sarah wrote in her mother, for example, for president, that would not get counted unless her mother had registered and filed with the Franklin County Board of Elections to be a candidate. We get votes for Santa Claus every election written in, and those votes do not count.
Has Santa ever come close?
No comment.
Okay.
Good list.
Right. What are the big questions that you're fielding at this point, Aaron?
So we're getting questions about drop boxes. Joe did a nice job kind of summarizing that. The other real hot topic out there right now, Ann, is poll watchers or poll observers.
Yeah.
And so we're getting some concerns and some questions from voters about what exactly that means and what the role of those individuals are, and are they going to be able to see how I vote and you know, interfere with my ability to vote. And so we're feeling some questions about that.
What about you, Jen Miller?
Yeah, we're getting questions. They're usually about logistics. You know, we are 866 Our Vote Hotline, which is the nonpartisan election protection coalition, we're sometimes getting calls where maybe someone's gotten the wrong information. And so we're just dispelling those myths or that confusion. Overall, things are mostly smooth. Let's keep in mind that early voting is a time to for new poll workers and boards of elections to work out kinks, and which is great. And typically, the participation isn't as high that first week. So there have been kinks here or there, but overall, things are running pretty smoothly.
Erin Ackerman, Joe Engels mentioned that in Hamilton County, in Cincinnati, there has been kind of a bottleneck at the ballot drop box. What's going on there, and have there been ever any similar problems in other counties?
So I know that, one of the things the boards of elections really try to do is be accessible, locate their offices so they're accessible to the public, which means, especially in those urban counties, that they try to put their boards close to highways and major arteries,
right,
so that the public can get there. And what that means in cases like Hamilton County and Cuyahoga County, to a certain extent, is because they're located right next to the highway, people, when the voting backs up, or when the drop box situation backs up, it backs up onto the highway. Now, I think there's a pretty high profile case up in Cleveland where they've done some stuff to mitigate that. And they're trying, they have multiple through fares and things like that to try to reroute traffic. I don't know if specifically in Hamilton County if they've looked at potential solutions like that or added drop boxes or teams. But I think that's what I'd heard the problem was down there, is that they're literally right off the highway.
The number is 614-292-8513, or you can email us at allsides@wosu.org. If you have a question about voting, give us a call. Let's see. Peter in Columbus, you're on the air. Hi, Peter.
Oh, hi, Ann. Guest. Really enjoyed this program. A lot of valuable information.
Thank you.
I voted this morning with two of my neighbors. We showed up at 6:30. Of course, up at the Board of Election on Morris Road. And we waited an hour and a half, but we were all done voting by 8:15. That's very fast. And I even had to vote provisionally because a vehicle I registered was an incorrect address, and somehow it made it onto the voting rolls. So I had to correct that, show them my ID, and I had to vote a provisional ballot, which I was fine with. My question was, where is all the voting information? Where is it stored? Is it done nightly? Is it downloaded onto some device or something? Or do those machines have the capability of storing as many votes as people vote on them?
Erin?
Wow. Well, first of all, Peter, thanks for your patience, and thanks for turning out, and thanks for your understanding of the provisional balloting process. That shows a deep level of understanding about what we have going on, and a great question. So, there were two kind of questions built in there. The one was, the votes being tabulated and stored, and the other was the voter registration database. Two separate pieces of hardware and software within an elections board. We have our voter registration database, which syncs up with a statewide registration database. Now that's frozen for the time being because registration is closed in the state of Ohio. It closed 30 days before the election. But typically what happens is, as new registrations come in, we sync our local databases with the statewide database. So there's always communication between the two. We have, lots of redundancies built into our system. Data is stored on site and off site and backed up. But typically they're updated. I think daily we do batch updates to the statewide voter registration database so that they're always as accurate as possible. And that's a separate, as I mentioned, that's a separate piece of technology from the actual voting machines that you use on election day and when you show up to vote early in person.
And so someone asked me this question, because I get asked questions all the time because people actually think I can remember everything and know what's what. And the one is that if you vote early, whether it's absentee or in person, when do those votes get counted?
Those votes get actually counted on election day at 7:30 p.m. when the polls close, which is different, which now I want to clarify that we scan. So some states are having big problems right now because they don't have the ability to say an absentee ballot comes in an envelope. In Ohio, we can open that, we can process it, we can scan it, we can get it into our system, but we don't actually tabulate it in a format that is usable to anyone, meaning, you know, a candidate or a political party or the public could kind of see, okay, as of, you know, October 15th, how many people have voted for this candidate, that candidate. That's not possible in Ohio. But we do get it into the system, and then on election day, we tabulate at 7:30. Other states like Michigan, they can't even open those ballots. So on election day, they're going to be opening millions of ballots and trying to put it through the system, and that's going to cause some delays.
And then at 7:30, somebody pushes a button, and all of those processed ballots are then tabulated?
Yeah, it's actually two people push a button.
Okay, a Republican and a Democrat.
You got it. I always say for the, you know, Sean Connery fans who like the Hunt for Red October, remember when they stick the nuclear keys in the submarine and they both switch them, you know, there's an R key that someone sticks in and a D key that someone sticks in, and they do the countdown and they twist the keys and then boom, you get your results, but you can't do it without both keys. So it's interesting.
Yeah. Is that Jim Miller? Are any lingering concerns at this point? I know that the litigation over Dropbox seems to be at a standstill at this point, right?
Well, we're still waiting on the appeal. So we did win in federal court, and now that is being appealed. We'll see what happens there. You know, and remember, it's not just Dropboxes. It's also to allow counties to send bipartisan teams to places like libraries or maybe county commission offices to collect ballots. And we think that would be still a very transformative thing for voters and boards of elections. We are concerned about there continuing to be lines at Dropboxes, and we're concerned about just how long many voters would have to drive to get that ballot to the drop box. So we will continue to work on that. But at the same time, our number one priority now is educating voters, making sure voters have what they need to succeed at the polls.
Amy in Columbus, you're on the air. Hi, Amy.
Hi.
Go ahead.
Can you hear me?
Yes.
Yes. Last Tuesday, I fill out my absentee ballot, put a stamp on the envelope, and instead of sending it to the post office, I handed it in to the person at the Board of Election in Columbus of Moss Road.
Yep.
And then later on, I got a message from the board saying that they have sent my absentee ballot back to the post office so that it will be mailed back to them. And I think this is very insane.
Why would they do that?
I still have not received a notice from the Board of Elections that they have received my ballot and approved it.
Well, okay, so Jen Miller, why would they do that? Do you know?
I've never heard of that. I actually would love to have Aaron answer
that question.
Yeah, Aaron,
what do you make of that?
I really couldn't track the process. She
dropped off a stamped ballot at the Board of Elections in their Dropbox. And they
sending it back to the post office?
Yeah. Let's see, Amy, I just want to make sure I get this right. Then they messaged you and said, we're sending it to the post office so that it can be mailed in.
Yes.
And it was because it had a stamp on it?
That's correct. And now it has passed a week, and I still have not received a notice that they have received my ballot.
I don't know why they would do that process. I can tell you, Amy, you can go on the Board of Elections website and make sure it got received and counted, though. You do have the option to track your ballot. So
have you been tracking it, Amy?
I checked it every day, and they said they have not received my absentee ballot.
Okay.
I've not heard of that.
So, Amy, how about, I'm not sure what's really going on here. We would be happy to help you look into this to see what's happening. So go ahead and follow up with me after this show, and we'll see how we can assist you at the League of Women Voters of Ohio.
Amy, why don't you leave your number with my producer, and Jen Miller can get back with you, okay? All right, Amy?
All right.
All right. That's a weird one. Okay. Let's see. John in Powell, you're on the air. Hi, John.
Hi. I've got a question about provisional voting.
Uh-huh.
Say I go in on election day and I think I'm going to vote, and they say, no, you have to vote provisionally because, well, whatever, doesn't reason. First, they have a reason why I have to vote a provisional ballot.
Uh-huh.
Is there a way for me to follow up the next day or the next week and see what they did with my vote? Did they count it or did they reject it because of some reason?
Yeah, Aaron Ackerman?
Yeah, under federal law, actually, when you cast a provisional ballot at the polling location, you'll receive a piece of paper that actually has instructions for exactly how you can follow up to see if it was counted. So that's actually a part of federal law.
Okay, great.
Yeah, we want you to do that. And so this is something we tell provisional voters all the time. That piece of paper may not look like something that exciting or that important, but keep it and follow the instructions, because in there, it might also tell you not just how to follow up and see if it counts, but what you need to do to make sure it counts. So one of the reasons why someone might vote provisionally is that they didn't bring the right identification. So that'll give them instructions, that voter instructions, on how to prove their identity to the Board of Elections so that that ballot can count.
Yep, that's great advice.
Okay, John, thanks for that call. 614-292-8513, or email us at allsides@wosu.org if you have a question about voting. Victoria in Worthington, you're on the air. Hi, Victoria.
Hi, Ann. I just had a quick question. I'm not sure if you covered it already. Who made the decision of each county only gets one drop box, and why is that?
Okay, Aaron Ackerman, you want to cover that one?
Well, since Jen's been involved in the litigation, I might defer to her. She might have a better legal understanding.
Okay, Jen Miller?
Yeah. You know what? Thank you, Victoria. I agree with you. We need multiple drop boxes. It's been our priority for months now. The Secretary of State, the Chief Elections Officer, is the one who's decided that drop boxes can only be located at the Board of Elections property. So you can have multiple drop boxes, but they all have to be basically at the same address, which doesn't increase, in my opinion, doesn't increase access the way we need. So we're concerned, if you think about Cuyahoga County, if you live in Strongsville or East Cleveland, how hard it is to get to that one location. It could be a long drive. You may not have transportation. So what's happening with that now, Victoria, is there are two different lawsuits about this. In state court, it was, you know, determined by the judge that Secretary LaRose could allow multiple drop locations and throughout the county. And then in my case, the actual federal judge ruled with us that it was unconstitutional, unequal protection under the law to only have one per county. But there's been appeals, and so we don't know where that's going. What I'll say is this. Is we still have a good system. We think it could be better, and my job is to always work on access. But if you are voting absentee, you know, you can drive it or get it to the Board of Elections, you or an immediate family member, or you can just put it in the mail right away so that if there are mail delays, that you still get your ballot to the Board of Elections in time.
We are going to take a quick break. That's Jen Miller, Executive Director of the League of Women Voters Ohio, and also with us, Aaron Ackerman, Executive Director of the Ohio Association of Election Officials. If you have a question or comment about voting in 2020, give us a call, 614-292-8513, or email us at allsides@wosu.org. I'll get to those emails when we get back. This is All Sides with Ann Fisher on 89.7 NPR News. Welcome back to All Sides. I'm your host, Ann Fisher. Election Day is 20 days away. I'm talking to the experts today about how to cast your ballot so it counts. Still with us, Aaron Ackerman, Executive Director of the Ohio Association of Election Officials, and Jen Miller, Executive Director of the League of Women Voters Ohio. Questions or comments, 614-292-8513, or email us at allsides@wosu.org. Jason emailed us. He said, I've got a valid license with my old address. I've updated my registration to vote to my new address. Do I just need to take a piece of mail with my new address? Who can answer? Aaron?
Yeah, actually, under Ohio law, you don't even need to do that. As long as you can verbally verify to the poll worker what your current address is, your driver's license does not need to have your current address, because we don't, the BMV doesn't even require you to update your driver's license when you move, so we don't either.
Also, Jason says that he applied 3 weeks ago to work at the polls and he still hasn't heard anything back. Is there any news on poll workers? I mean, is there really a need, Aaron Ackerman?
Yeah, there's still a need.
Because it's not the first time I've heard this now.
Yeah, and unfortunately, it's not the first time I've heard it either. I actually had breakfast with a friend this morning who had applied to be a poll worker and was still waiting to hear back. And that's not, I'm not gonna make excuses for that. If you want to get me in touch with Jason, I think this came up on our last call as well, and I got routed to the correct person at the Board of Elections. I'm happy to do that for Jason. We appreciate his willingness to serve, and we want to make sure that he gets that opportunity.
All right, so Jason, if you just want to email us your information, we'll get that to Aaron Ackerman of the Ohio Association of Election Officials, because we need poll workers. No question about that. The more the merrier. Let's see. I'm turning to Jill in Columbus. You're on the air. Hi, Jill.
Good morning.
Good morning.
They need poll workers in Cuyahoga County too, by the way. I don't know if Aaron can verify that.
Okay.
Yeah. So my issue. Go ahead.
No, you go ahead.
So my issue is I applied for what I thought was an absentee ballot online on the Board of Elections website, and I thought I was applying for an absentee ballot, which is exactly what it said I was applying for. And one smaller issue, but for people that don't have a printer, unbeknownst to me, there is no option to submit electronically an online request for an absentee ballot. It makes you think as though you're requesting it until you get to the very bottom and it says print off this filled out form, put a stamp on it, and send it in. So once I did that, the next thing I get in the mail is a request for an absentee ballot. So my point is, you're online, you're requesting a request.
Right.
To be mailed.
That's what it is. It's not an absentee ballot. Right, Jen?
Yeah, Jill. Thank you for calling. And a lot of people in the primary actually thought that they had requested their ballot online and didn't even realize they had to print something out and mail it. So let me just say this. Our absentee system is good, but it's a couple decades old, and we haven't updated it. So both Aaron with the election officials and myself with the league and our voter advocate friends want to see online absentee requests, just like we have online voter registration. It's something we've worked hard on for years, and I do encourage voters that think our absentee system is inefficient to let your lawmakers know, because that's something that the General Assembly has not moved forward despite broad bipartisan support.
Okay, Jill, hang in there. It is complicated. Let's see. Eric in Columbus, you're on the air. Hi, Eric.
Hi, how are you guys?
Good, thanks.
Excellent. So my question actually follows up a call that you just had from somebody, I think, named Amy.
Yeah.
Who said that she had dropped off her ballot at the Morse Road location, and then she got a follow-up text saying it was sent to the U.S. Postal Service.
Yeah.
And I got that, too. But mine, I think, is even more disturbing for me, because I dropped off mine and my wife, and it said that it was sent to the USPS, and I didn't put any postage on it.
So now you're wondering who
I would need. Yeah, right.
Yeah. Wow. Aaron Ackerman?
I wish I had a better answer other than I've never heard of that procedure, and I'm going to have to try to – I know Jen wants to help, you know, individuals who are in this situation, and I want to try to figure out – from the Board
I don't
of Elections, why they're doing that.
If I read you the text.
Yeah, well, yeah.
So real quick, a couple things. Real quick. So first off, the good news is that your ballot should still get delivered to the Board of Elections, even without postage. The bad news is it sounds like there's someone who's confused. And let's just keep in mind that this is the kind of thing we get. So these are the kinds of little glitches and calls that we're getting through our 866-hour vote hotline, where, you know, you have a lot of poll workers and maybe one just gets a little confused on what the process is, and then they do something that's not exactly right. And so it's really important for voters to let us know when these things happen so we can follow up with boards of elections. Leave your phone number, and I will my team will follow up with you and Amy about this issue, and then I'll work with Aaron and the local Board of Elections to figure out what's going on and solve it.
Okay, so Eric, stay on the line, and one of the producers will get back with you and get your phone number, okay? All right. Thanks, Eric. Let's see. Todd in Columbus. You're on the air, Todd. Hello, Todd.
Hello.
Hi, you're on the air.
Hi. Yeah, I basically had the same question. My family and I filled out our absentee ballots and dropped them off at the Franklin County Board of Elections on Sunday.
Uh-huh.
And we received no confirmations. They've been received in the system. You know, the ballot track doesn't give any indication that they've been received. And I'm just wondering how long that process should take, or did somebody put them in the mail?
Okay. So, Aaron Ackerman, what do we know? I mean, obviously, Franklin County's populous county. What are the expectations that you'll get in the tracker?
Yeah, I would think that 24, 48 hours would be about right. They're obviously getting a lot. They're cleaning it out multiple times per day, is my understanding, and then taking it back. And obviously, bear in mind that it's not like you drop your ballot off and we just dump it right in the tabulator. We have to do a lot of verification, and that's a lot of ballots coming in. So I would say be patient, keep checking the tracker, you know, and if it gets to be 4, 5, 6 days, and you don't see yourself in there, that then you want to call the board and do some follow up. But bear in mind that, you know, we have hundreds of thousands of ballots coming in that all have to be not just opened, you know, but verified and then put into the tabulation system and registered and reflected in the voter registration system, which is going to update that website. So there is a bit of a back end process that you need to allow the board to work through. But appreciate your patience and give it a few days and then follow up if you haven't seen anything.
Okay, Todd. And so Heidi emailed us and said, when should she be worried if it doesn't show up on the tracker? It's kind of confusing, Aaron. I mean, when should people start worrying? Because everyone's panicked that what if I wait too long? Then my vote won't count.
Yeah, I mean, the good news is we're still 3 weeks out from the election. There's plenty of time. So I would say give it 3-4 days. Again, 3-4 days. If you haven't seen it, the board does provide direct ways to contact them, either through email or phone call. And at that point, follow up. But yeah, be a little patient. We've got plenty of time. And if you haven't seen it in that time period, then yeah, go ahead and do some follow up.
Okay. Elizabeth in Westerville, you're on the air. Hi, Elizabeth.
Hi. Thanks for the show.
My
daughter is a first time voter, and she is lucky enough to go to school in Scotland. She registered as an absentee before she left. She followed the procedure for military and overseas voters. Ballot track says that her ballot was sent on the 16th of September, and she has not received it. Mail usually takes a week. What should she do? What can she do to make sure she can vote for the first time ever?
Any ideas?
She should call the board. We can actually email her if we have her email address. With overseas, we can actually email the ballot to her. She will need to stick it in the mail to get it back.
She's got that listed on ballot. She chose that on ballot track. She put her email, right, her university email, right in. So what action does she need to take then?
Call the Board of Elections. Yeah, like today.
Okay.
And let them know that she requested on the 15th that she hasn't received it yet, either through the mail or through email.
Can her mother call on her behalf just to ask or not? Will it have to be her daughter?
It'd be better if she did it herself.
Daughter. Okay. All right. Elizabeth, good luck. Yeah.
All right. Thank you.
Just for letting me know about it.
All right. Bye.
Let's see. From Elise, she said, so I voted on Tuesday and was wearing a face mask that said dogs 2020. When I got in the door at the first check-in spot, the gal looked at my ID, paused, and asked me, "Is your mask Christian?" It took me a sec to register what she was asking, and I left. I said, "No, it's Dogs 2020. I guess she was stressed and thought it was God's 2020. Okay. By the way, I went at 11 a.m. on Tuesday. It was 50 minutes, which included the time it took me to walk to the back of the very long line. But folks and workers were cheerful, did seem to be enjoying exercising their right to vote. Then Gail writes us, "As this year there is no League of Women Voters publication detailing candidates' backgrounds, positions, and explaining the issues, is there any other publication or any website offering the helpful information?" Jen Miller?
Well, actually, we do know that we do have the voter guide this year.
So I wondered.
I don't know where Gail is based, but if you are in the great, if you're in the Metro Columbus area, we have both print and online. And that's the case for a lot of the surrounding counties as well. So the easiest thing to do is to go to vote411.org, put in your address, and you will get information for the candidates and issues on your ballot. That also there, you can get a lot of other information, like how to request an absentee ballot, how to track it, how to find your early vote center, many other things.
All right, and David in Mount Vernon, you're on the air. Hi, David. Hello, David? Nope. I guess he's, I don't know where he is. David, are you there?
Hello?
Hi, David, you're on the air. Sorry.
Yes, thank you. My question is, in this era of pandemic, if one of the candidates were to pass away, how would these early votes be counted? Am I voting for the party or am I voting for the person?
Go ahead, Aaron.
How does that work, Aaron?
I think it depends on when that candidate passes away. There's a certain deadline at which the parties have the opportunity to replace the candidate. And I think depending on even what office it is, you know, it could be that the central committee appoints. It could be that, you know, the state party appoints. At this point in the process, I think that those votes get, you know, they're in the system. So they count. I don't know how it would work if the dead person would win, to be honest with you. It used to be when we had the old punch card systems, when that happened, we would just basically put like a sticker over the person's name so you couldn't vote for them. But stickers don't work really good on touchscreen voting machines. So we don't have that ability to do that anymore. So I'm just not sure at this point in the game how that would work, but you can't elect a dead person as far as I'm aware.
Right. Jen?
Yeah, so it depends on the, I mean, I'm sorry to not be so clear, but it depends, as was said, when that passing away happens, as well as what level of office that individual would be holding if they won. And so that's the kind of thing that, you know, there would be a lot of oversight over to make sure fairness and that the system is abided by. But it just really depends.
We just have about a minute left, Aaron Ackerman, and I just want to make sure it's not too late to request an absentee ballot, right?
Correct. You can, under current law, you can request a ballot up until noon on Saturday before the election. We are highly recommending that you get your requests in no later than the Tuesday before the election, 7 days before the election. And in a perfect world, you would be doing it even well in advance of that. But yeah, there's still plenty of time, and obviously there's still a lot of activity out there, so we're continuing to see that. That's exciting.
Mm-hmm. And applications for absentee ballots, again, not absentee ballots, but applications for them, they're available all over the place, right, Jen Miller?
Absolutely. So you can, again, get those online. You can get them at the Board of Elections. In many communities, you can get them at other locations throughout the community, like a grocery store or a food bank location.
Okay. Well, thanks, you guys, again, for joining us. I really appreciate all the times you participated, and I think we'll probably do this at least one more time before Election Day. So thanks to you.
Look forward to it. Thanks for having us on, Ann.
You bet.
Thanks, Ann. Take care.
You too, Jen. That's Jen Miller, Executive Director of the League of Women Voters Ohio, and also Aaron Ackerman. He's Executive Director of the Ohio Association of Election Officials. Let us know, listeners, on Facebook if you need another one of these shows. We'll be glad to provide it. You're listening to All Sides with Ann Fisher on 89.7 NPR News.